Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor Oscar Clavel delivers the message entitled, Growing in Grace.
Our first scripture reading this morning is from Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, chapter 2, verses 19 through 30. Paul writes, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I may be cheered by news of you. I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. All of them are seeking their own interests and not those of Jesus Christ. But Timothy's worth you know, how like a son with a father he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I trust in the Lord that I will also come soon. Still, I think it necessary to send you to you Epaphroditus, my brother and co-worker and fellow soldier, your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for all of you and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. He was indeed so ill that he nearly died. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, so that I would not have one sorrow after another. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, in order that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. Welcome him, then, in the name of the Lord, with all joy and honor and people, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for those services that you could not give me. This is the word of the Lord.
We'll continue our reading in chapter 3 of Philippians. Finally, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is not troublesome to me, and for you it is a safeguard. Beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of those who mutilate the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God and boast in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh, even though I too have reason for confidence in the flesh. If anyone else has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, and as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as a loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as a loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and regard them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his suffering by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. This is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you once again for the music, the prayers, the offering, the reading of your word. Lord, all of these, God, have invited us into your presence. And so, God, now we take a moment to reflect and to listen. And so, Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts might be pleasing in your sight. It is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, growing up, one of the things that most of us couldn't wait was to get older. When you were older, you were going to be able to drive. You could do things without your parents. And also, you were going to be a little bit taller or stronger, and you could do a little bit more of challenging things. In fact, I remember when I was a little kid, we used to live with my grandparents when we came to the States. And I don't know what exactly they stored, but maybe it was like chips or cookies or something, but it was like on the very, very top drawer or cabinet in the kitchen. And I remember that as a kid, not only did I have to climb on top of the counter to reach it, but also had to put one foot onto the shelf itself so that I could reach these cookies and these snacks at the very top. And so as a kid, I thought to myself, I can't wait till I am taller. Unfortunately, God did not bless me with height, though. So I still have to use a step stool these days. You know, the funny thing, though, is that when us that are older, we hear people say, oh, I can't wait till I get old. We normally will just say, don't be in a hurry. Enjoy your youth. And it all comes back full circle, because then as you get older, people will say, I wish I was young again. But there is one thing for sure, and that is that things are just moving forward. There is no going back. We either catch up to what is the potential of our lives, or it just leaves us behind by the roadside. Now, this year marks 23 years of me being a Christian. And as I read the letter to the Philippians over and over the last few weeks, a thought came to me about what does it mean to be a mature Christian, one who has grown up well in the faith. Where am I in that maturation process? You know, I want you to take a moment here and think to yourself, how long have you been following Jesus? You know, for me, 23 years is a long time. And I've asked myself, how do you measure, though, if you are on the right track? You know, most things in life, they have measurables that you can look towards and say, yes, I am making some progress towards that goal. This morning, we're going to take a look at three brief vignettes of three characters that I believe are going to help us to uncover what does it mean to grow well in faith. And in particular, we can answer the question, am I growing in grace? Like I said, for me, 23 years with Jesus is a long time. What impact and testimony can come out of that? First person we meet here is Timothy. Timothy was a beloved pastor of Paul's. He was very young, probably early 20s, perhaps late teens. And Paul often wrote to him notes and letters of encouragement, not necessarily because he was concerned that Timothy would not be a good pastor, but primarily he wrote to encourage him because he saw something within him that proved that he didn't have to worry about would he be a good pastor, but rather he saw within him that he had proven maturity and fruitfulness. So Paul writes about him. He said, I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. So the first sign of growing in grace is concern for others. This week, Bob Goff, he's a popular author, I think has written two books. He spoke at the Neighborhood Christian Legal Clinic gala fundraiser. And by the way, the legal clinic is one of our partners here at TAB. And he used this verse to highlight a point about what does it mean to show genuine concern for others. You know, one of the things that we do when we are concerned about others is we are giving gifts to others that not only that they matter to us, but that they matter to God. It's kind of like that young boy whose fish died, and you ask him, what was your fish name, and what did you like about him? When we show genuine concern for others, we allow an opportunity for Jesus to jog something deep within someone about a need or a joy that hasn't been able to be expressed yet. And we are creating this very sacred space where Jesus and we can talk not only about our lives, but we can find healing and possibly salvation in that. It's why people often say that it's probably a good idea to stay curious about other people, because you really don't know someone until you ask. A few years ago, I was at a, you know, something some of you know, don't know, is periodically I like taking dance lessons, salsa lessons in particular. And I remember, lo and behold, the surprise on a TAB member's face when they saw me at the class and they said, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "Well, what are you doing here?" A reason I think that the reason why I think concern for others is a sign of growing in grace is because those that have grown in this area have learned that the gospel message of reconciliation between God and one another is real and it bears tangible fruit. People have been reconciled to God. They don't spend their time feeling guilty about their past because they know that by God's grace, their past is forgiven and put behind them. People who know that they've been reconciled by God understand that in the same way that God has made you into a new creation, He will make and do the same things for others. And so people that have grown in this area of concern for others, they can confront the tough situations, not only of their lives, but of the lives of others, because they have tangible proof. If God is doing something new, if God is the new creation doing this among us, then He will definitely do it in somebody else's life. A person who shows genuine concern for others leaves behind them a wake of thankfulness and gratitude for God. So maybe the real challenge for growing in concern of others is to just get curious about somebody else and to ask questions. And in that asking of questions, we open up and we create this space where Jesus can talk and we can be a part of that. The second person we meet is Epaphroditus. I don't know what his mother was thinking that day. He was a member of the Church of Philippi, and he had come to Paul with gifts, primarily financial gifts, some food, some clothing. Paul was in prison, more than likely in Ephesus at this point. And Epaphroditus became very ill, almost to the point of death. But Paul says, "But God had mercy not only on him, but also on me." And so God restored him back to health. And so Paul writes, "Welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give." And so the second sign of growing in grace is service. Now, service is really something that is, I think, all too familiar to us at TAB. It's our DNA, it's our programming, it's our understanding of Jesus and the gospel. It's oriented towards service towards others. In fact, this whole building, the scripture verses, everything kind of just reminds us in one way or the other that we are called to serve. And so, and I don't need to necessarily explain this concept to us. We get it. But I'll make just a brief comment. What does this mean and what does this look like? I've talked about a previous pastor friend and mentor of mine, Pastor Pedro, who not only exemplified what a life of service looks like, but also was one of the reasons why I entered into ministry. He walked the talk. You know, when Pastor Pedro preached about, and, you know, living in Kentucky, he was primarily working with migrant workers in the fields. When he would talk about the migrant workers in Kentucky, he didn't just talk about them because it would be a good sermon about justice or about the injustices of society or how we need to be helping out our fellow man. But rather, Pastor Pedro believed that we talk about these things so that we can do something about it. And so every time that he would preach anything about this, he would say, "Let's get in a van full of people, drive down to Bardstown, Kentucky, wherever it might be, and let's worship together and let's feed each other food." And so as a little boy, I remember carrying my guitar, my mom making food, a bunch of other people making food, and we'd make our ways down to these farms and we would serve others. Pastor Pedro also showed me that when there was a need in the church, whether it be housing, food, whatever it might be, he would do what it took and at a great financial cost to himself to serve those that were around him. Now, he did this not necessarily because he had a guilt complex that he needed to do things, but rather he truly believed that God had given him an abundant life. And here's what I find interesting. He believed so strongly that God had said, I come to give life in an abundance. But he said, if this is true, then I am literally just the vessel where that abundance comes through, and it just goes out to me to other people. And so he was convinced that abundance was not just stopping here, but it was supposed to flow out to other people as well. A person who is growing in this area of service does this because they know that the gospel is true. They know it for themselves. They experience the effects of salvation daily. They're forgiven daily. They know God. And service is really just, it's an extension of joy and gratitude. That's why they do what they do. Because they have a hopeful joy that God is at work in all circumstances, and they can definitely put their trust in God. People who understand service are like Epaphroditus. He didn't need to be guilted or push to volunteer to sign up. Service was just second nature to him. But here's the thing. I don't need you to feel guilty this morning that you're not serving a lot here, you're not serving a lot there. It's not a matter of quantity. But rather, I need you to ask yourself a different question. Does the gospel bring lasting joy and realistic hope in your life? Folks, this is almost paramount. Because if the gospel does not bring everlasting joy and hope into your life, it's hard to serve. You do it out of a different motivation. And so if we're going to grow in this area, don't think to yourself, what more can I add to myself? But rather, does the gospel bring lasting joy and realistic hope that God is truly God, that Jesus is truly Lord? And I believe you, folks, I won't be able to stop you from serving. Lastly, we come to Paul. He writes about himself. He says, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I lost all things. The third sign of growing in grace is perspective. Now, a cultural question that resonates with me, and I'm sure it probably resonates with a few of us here, is the question, am I successful? And this pressure to succeed, I believe, is very high among kind of a younger generation. Because the belief is that success brings happiness. And there is truth in this. If you set a goal to get straight A's during college and you actually do it, you've succeeded and it brings joy into your life. What gets us into trouble, and Paul realized this as well, he was actually too familiar with this definition of success, was when we are identified by our achievements and successes. You know, Paul writes that if there is ever someone who could really say, I am successful in faith, successful that God could not ignore me, God would almost be obligated to love me, he said, I had every single credential. He said, I was born a Jew of the tribe of Benjamin. In regard to the law, I followed its strictest interpretation. When it came to zeal, I persecuted those who did not believe the way that you needed to believe. And he said, and as far as following the law, he said, I followed it with such precision. But Paul, as he comes to know Christ, gains perspective. And he says, all of these things now mean nothing to me in light of the surpassing worth and value of knowing Jesus Christ. He discovered that his successes didn't really amount to much, if anything at all, because he discovered that what Jesus had done for him was more than enough. Jesus in his heart, knowing him, was what gave him true joy and happiness. A person who is growing in this area of life has matured to know that human achievements and credentials have their place in life. They are things that we strive for and that we do. But a person mature in this area recognizes that they do not bring eternal joy or salvation. Only knowing Jesus can do that. I'm a pastor. I wish that meant something to God. It doesn't. The only thing that will matter to God was, did I know Jesus? Did I follow him? My credentials won't matter much. There's not a special line in heaven for people like me, nor for anybody. We all enter through the same gate, through the same door. If we don't grow in this area, though, a few things happen. One of them is, you cannot have genuine concern for the welfare of others because you automatically always measure people by what they have been able to do, and you judge them for what they have not been able to do. And you may serve people, but you will not do so out of this everlasting joy or hope, but you'll do so because you want to exert your power. Perhaps this place is where we first need to start to grow. A person growing in this area measures their life and their success not by what they have done, but by this question: am I following Jesus and growing? Concern for others, service, and perspective are the three areas where I think we need to ask ourselves periodically: am I growing in grace? Like I said, 23 years for me. I wonder how many years for you. And what can you say is the testimony of that time? Now, the last thing I'll leave us is with this. Thankfully, no one has to be perfect in this area, and I'm not here to make you feel guilty. And in fact, I don't expect anybody to be perfect in any of these areas, because Paul himself writes, I'm not perfect in these areas. He says, in fact, I am putting behind still that which is stumbling to me, and I am still pressing forward, onward, to the prize. And he says, the prize is knowing Christ in his life. And so, folks, this is what maturity looks like. It's not a checklist. It's a reflection. And it's telling us this. Am I pushing forward? Am I pushing onward? And so I ask you, are you growing in grace? So let us now enter this time of prayer so we may answer that. Gracious God, we thank you once again for your presence and your Spirit. We ask you, Lord, this day that you would speak to us. So Holy Spirit, you're masterful at this. You do this better than anybody. You can speak and guide and convict in a way that is unreal, in a way that just hits us exactly right. So I ask you, Holy Spirit, to please speak to us, challenge us, affirm us where we are growing and where we need to grow a bit more. So Lord, may this not only be a time of reflection, but a time of rejoicing and of gratitude. So Holy Spirit, please speak to us, we pray.